Moncrief on News Talk.
It's a big birthday for Dungeons & Dragons. This year it celebrates its 50th birthday. Owen Falvey is co-creator of a podcast for Irish fans of D&D and other games as well, it should be mentioned. It's called How We Roll. Owen, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Sean, how are you?
Probably most people, Owen, have heard of Dungeons & Dragons, but probably most people don't know how you play it. Could you run us through how it actually works?
Yeah, look, I was the same when I started playing myself. The way we talk about it, it's not your traditional board game. It's somewhere between that and almost improv. We call it kind of interactive storytelling. So usually you have four or five players, and one of those players is what they call a game master or a dungeon master. So he comes with an idea for a game, almost like a loose script. So he'll say, the four players come up and they have some sort of quest. So a man's been murdered, they've got to find out who murdered him. And they'll be given information dump of some clues. The perpetrator looked like this. There's rumors that he was in this bar or he was wherever. And then the players make their decisions from there and they say, well, we're going to investigate the bar. We'll go talk to local police. So the game master has his loose script of what he hopes they'll do. But it's very much improv in that the players don't always follow his script and there's some bit of improvisation. And all your decisions then are based on skills the characters have and you roll dice to see whether you succeed or not.
Right, okay. So there is a luck element in it in that you could have a whole complex plan available to you and the dice will thwart your aims.
Yeah, very much so. So like you're doing any action you want to do. So it's very much based, when the game was originally designed, it was meant to emulate kind of Lord of the Rings and Tolkien-esque kind of adventures.
Mm.
So you want to go into a locked room, you say you want to lockpick the door. If you fail to lockpick the door, you have to come up with a plan B and kind of, when we say improv, very much you have to keep moving the story forward as either a player or the guy running the game. So if you're a player and you fail lockpicking the door, you have to try, you know, knocking it down with brute strength, or you try and drive to the end of the story one way or another.
Okay, but somebody does win, do they, at the end of this?
Not traditional winning. There's no losers. So generally, the group that are playing together, it's a cooperative game. You're looking to save someone who's, you know, been kidnapped, find the treasure, whatever it may be. Sometimes you win, sometimes the bad guy wins. It's more about the story and how you get there.
Oh.
It's almost like it's episodic, I would say. So when you turn up, you might play for 2 or 3 hours. You don't necessarily finish the game in that 2 or 3 hours. You might meet, you know, once a week over 6-7 weeks, and that'll get you to the end of what we call a campaign.
Right. And so that if there's 4 or 5 people playing the game, the person who has the role of Dungeon Master, they're not really taking part in the game, though, are they? Or what do they do?
Somewhat between a puppet master and a herder of cats, the players tend to try and test them. They're playing all of the, they're filling out the world, really. They're playing any what they call NPCs, non-player characters you meet. So you go up and you talk to a guard of a castle, the dungeon master will voice them and you'll have a conversation in character with them. So they're very much moulding the story, but they get the enjoyment of not knowing what you're going to do and where the story is going to go. Like, they might think you're going to go from point A, B, and C, but early on you might decide we're going nowhere near B and C, and they might have to make up some of their story on the fly, and the script is out the window, you know?
Right. All right. Okay. So there's kind of a bit of a battle of wits going on between various parties. Would it, in your experience, though, Owen, would particular personality types want to be the game's master?
Very much so. And I wouldn't say I'm one of those types. It takes a lot of prep. I have done a bit, but it's a special kind of player that needs to be a games master. And if you have a good one, it's magic. It's like listening to anyone telling a story or anything. There's just people who are better at it and they can captivate you with the plan they have or the story they make.
Mm. It sounds like people have a lot of leeway when they're playing the game. Have the rules of the game changed over the years?
They've different editions. So when it originally came out, as you said, 50 years ago in 1974, it came off a background of kind of what they call war gaming. So if you think of a game like Risk, which is all numbers and X beats Y, there's then a kind of role-playing rules of what you can and can't do, what's the world you play in, what's physically capable of it. With magic and stuff, obviously, it's a bit more leeway than a real world and what you can do. And then each group, like what we would advise when people listen to our show, if they're making their own group, before you sit down with players, set out rules about what people are okay with talking about and discussing in a game. So some people mightn't be... If it's a game where you're going to be a wizard or a paladin, you're going to be fighting people, what level of violence are you discussing? It's all obviously theatre of the mind kind of stuff, but you don't want to be putting someone into an uncomfortable situation where they're role-playing something they want to be talking about, you know?
Yeah. And... has, I suppose, the general public's attitude towards Dungeons and Dragons shifted gradually over the years? And, you know, from a point where perhaps originally it was viewed as very nerdy when, you know, the word nerd was completely pejorative and it was unemployed guys sitting in their underpants in the mother's basement, et cetera, who may or may not become serial killers later on. Has there been that adjustment?
Yeah, it went through all that. Like in the 80s, with Satanic Panic kind of going through America, you had kids that, you know, committed violent crimes, and if they had Dungeons and Dragons in their bedroom, the news media was saying they were worshipping the devil, and this is evidence of it. And then even myself, I started playing the game in 2013. I was 27, because growing up in the west of Ireland, I didn't know anyone who played it. And if they did, they probably didn't tell anyone, because it was that, what's that weird game you're playing? But I think with... you know, the movie, which came out, was $210 million or something it grossed. You start seeing it in shows like it's in The Simpsons, Community, kind of Stranger Things. You get a lot of people now going, that game you play. People are starting to get curious about it and wanting to try it themselves. People you wouldn't think. You know, the guys who traditionally would have been bullying the kids in the TV shows are now saying, maybe I'd give it a go, you know?
Yeah. And is it played just within groups of people in a kind of a friendship community setting? Are there international competitions of it and that kind of thing?
There isn't competitions. It's not competitive in any way, really. But there is conventions. So, like, there's big conventions in the UK. There's a couple in Ireland. But the big ones will be all in America. And people meet up, and you have people from shows like ours that might run a game, and you can play with people you know from different shows, or even just other Dungeons & Dragons fans from around the country, or even around the world, if you're in some of the bigger ones in America, will turn up. And usually they're signing up to play with Wizards of the Coast make Dungeons & Dragons, so they're a subsidiary of Hasbro. They might be launching a new story that comes to this convention, you can play our story, you can test it out. And it's very much more, it's kind of old school, like storytelling, sitting around a table or telling a story together. So it's not competitive really at all.
Yeah, no, and it's nice because it's very low tech. It's still people using a physical board and you know, as you say, telling stories to each other.
Yeah, that's nice. I actually think the popularity, it is low tech to run, and you can run with a pen and paper, and you don't need any modules. You can write it all yourself. But I think the popularity has grown because people who couldn't find communities to play with are now finding, you know, forums and groups online and Facebook groups to play. Like, all of our show is played with 3 or 4 Irish players, and we're playing with people from Manchester. One lives in Canada. And it all started out of a group. When I lived in Manchester for a couple of years, I started playing over there, and we said we'd set up a podcast. But we actually play it all online.
That's extraordinary. Owen, somebody's texting in to say, fair play to Owen Falvey, soundest bloke he'll meet. Went to school with him. He knows his Dungeons and Dragons. There's no name on that message, Owen, so could be anyone.
I'm sure there's a long list of people from school that would say that. Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Ooh, weren't we popular? Owen, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Owen Falvey there, co-creator of the How We Roll podcast.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.